Name some whites that have the soul for jazz.
Chet Baker from Yale, Oklahoma. He was the first one. I never really cared for Chet personally, and I had a bias against him. I had a bias against him because he's a white player. And I'll be honest about you. I had a bias against him. He's an ordinary cat, man. If he was black, you never would have heard of him, but that wasn't the case. Chet Baker was an incredibly fine musician. He died in Amsterdam under real strange conditions. The bass player was Wilbur Little. Wilbur and I played together in Washington, D.C. from 1959 to about 1964, and then he moved to Amsterdam. There are many of them. Louis Belson, Buddy Rich, Connie Condoli.
But you do have to reach, don't you, to find really good white jazz?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
It used to be a case. Okay. You can't outrun everybody either. Those days are over. No, you got some really, really, really fine players. Yeah. And the majority of them, when they get to that level, 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, they are far more proficient because the majority of them have gone through the classical school of music.
Why do you think it is jazz came out of the soul of blacks?
They needed an outlet. Blues is the legitimate parent of all jazz. If you hear some players play and there's a blue tonality in it, which is note between notes, they call them blue notes. If you don't have at least one in a 45-minute performance of jazz, then, in my estimation, it lacks something. Anybody can improvise. Bach and Beethoven improvised way back in the 16th century, but they weren't playing jazz. We needed an outlet. I needed an outlet, which is why I got my mother's skillet, a knife, and a fork. I got a copper drum that's worth about $3,000-$4,000 now. Only 100 were made, and when it came out, I called the company. Oh, Washington, yours is in the mail. Didn't cost me a dime because of what I had done as a player. And I'm not bragging about what I'd done as a player, but they respected enough about what I had done to give me that drum. I haven't bought a set of drums probably in 40 years. But the thing about it, we needed an outlet. You can only suppress a people so long.
It was because of the suppression. You were poor, put down, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what obviously produced that.
Right.
We try to make lemonade out of everything, and so forth. That's the lemonade that came out of those poor people who needed to be expressing.
But you know, it's really strange. In actuality, the original, quote, jazz songs came out of the church. When the saints go marching in, it's a church song. It's considered to be the number one. If you go to New Orleans, if you don't hear When the Saints Go Marching In, you might as well be in Paris. And they called it the devil's music because the church people didn't want to hear it. The only thing about it, this was not only When the Saints Go Marching In, but the improvisational aspect of it, which made it what it was. It was the same music because all these people were unlearned players. You got to understand, they were unlearned. Nobody ever wrote anything down. They just played, hey, man, you hear it. I was telling those youngsters yesterday, Hanson Brothers, I said, man, you probably got 100 songs, 1,000 songs written on 5 changes. They call them ice cream changes. All the rhythm and blues tunes you heard when I was growing up, all written on the same chord progressions, but different songs on the same changes. The same thing when you came out of church, all the church music basically used the same chordal changes, even now, in today's gospel music. So they needed an outlet, they needed a secular outlet, as opposed to just talking about going to church all the time. They needed an outlet outside because everybody wasn't going to church. So they just took the same song and turned them into jazz tunes. Those are the beginnings of jazz.
Wow.
Simple as that. Oh, as simple as that. And when you go to New Orleans, people get up out of graves when the band comes along playing When the Saints Go Marching In. Really one of the great experiences I had, it was in Perugia, Italy, and it was on top of a mountain. We were there for a week with Roy Hargrove. He's one of the latest young trumpet players who's a dynamo. And three or four big bands, people from Berklee School of Music, and just jazz musicians all over. My greatest thrill every day was to see the band do the second line. The second line is where they march down the street playing. There's a march called the second line. All of my unlearned players, drummer might be playing with the left hand like this, all wrong, but they're playing this music. And when the Saints go marching in, it looks like 1,000 people are trailing behind and marching in that band. It's called the second line. If you go to New Orleans, you see them marching down the street. I'm certain you've seen it with the umbrellas. Mm-hmm. It's called the second line.
Okay.
People get up out of graves to hear that. You know, that's how great it is, you know. And all the sophisticated people, blacks, white, green, and anybody else, they go to these affairs. They sit down and be cool when the music is playing. But when the second line, they got to get up. And I've played at many affairs, in particular for the Creoles. A lot of them are light-skinned with straight hair and they're sophisticated doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. And they want to be cool. But when the second line comes, the wife will make them get up. And then you see them reach for that handkerchief and start doing this. Hey, it's all over. Because you're part of the club, whether you like it or not, you know.
You keep talking about When the Saints Come Marching In. Like, that is the song?
That's considered probably one of the best songs ever to come out of New Orleans.
To be the birth of jazz.
Nobody can really define who actually started jazz or what year. But the first jazz band was put together by Benny Bolden. He had the first known jazz band. Wasn't the first jazz band to record because a lot of black musicians didn't want to deal with the white musicians over there. And the white musicians liked the music. So they began to emulate it. And they took it to England. So the English people thought that the first original band was a white group. No, it was Buddy Bolden. Buddy Bolden died when he was like 30. He went crazy and died. But he had the first, long before Louis Armstrong, long before King Oliver, was him.